This is the SMB Community Podcast, the longest-running MSP-focused podcast in the industry.
I'm James Kernan. My background's IT sales, marketing, and leadership, and most recently, M&A advisory services.
And I'm Amy Babinchak. I help MSPs run stronger, more profitable firms from a tech-first perspective.
Here, you'll find practical insights for MSPs and IT service providers. Powered by Small Biz Thoughts.
Hello. Hey, I need to introduce you to Ryan Morris. He's my co-host today. James is off, I don't know, gallivanting around on a snowmobile or something. And Ryan is a principal go-to-market analyst with Morris Management Partners. Hey, welcome, Ryan.
Thank you very much, Amy. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for filling in. I really appreciate it. Hey, I have a question of the day. We always start this podcast off with a question of the day. And today it's a light bulb joke. First time I think we've ever done a joke. So here it is. You ready? How many MSPs does it take to change a light bulb?
Infinity. Could be you. Could be an entire community of offshore staff. No one knows.
No one knows because they're all working remotely. So that's a problem because your client doesn't know either. The invisible work is a serious issue for MSPs that we are going to have to overcome in the AI world that we're all entering into.
Yeah, I think that's a terrific point because if you think about it from the customer's point of view, remote or invisible or automated or AI, it all feels exactly the same, right? You show up one day and in your inbox, there's an email that says, your network is fine. And you have no idea what went into it, which I think was kind of the original promise of the MSP model. That's why we did it this way, so that we could scale. But you also do have to remind the customer, hey, we're over here. We're doing stuff.
Yeah, it's a tough thing, right? You're right. We use those tools to scale. And then you risk losing touch with the client. And the prices have gone up and up and up. And when your price goes up and up and up, customers expect your service level to go up and up and up. And by that, they mean like, you know, the whole white glove thing. Like, I need to see you doing something because they don't, all they understand is they hired you. They don't actually know what you do. They just know that they want to see you from time to time. Like, hello, where's that guy I'm sending thousands of dollars a month to? What happened to him?
Yeah. Where is he and what is he doing? And the irony is the hardest thing in the world to prove to a customer is the value of things that didn't happen. You know, like your network did not get hacked this week. Your network did not crash and leave you stranded. And maybe that's because we're excellent support technicians, or maybe it's just because the machine chose not to crash this week. We have to figure out a way to establish that relationship and communicate value, which also, ironically, is the thing that we as techies in this world are least comfortable doing. So, you know,
yeah, extra we're really challenge. We are really bad at that as an industry. But I really think that AI coming in is going to allow us to automate so much more that if we don't get better at the communication part, the customer is going to say, yeah, isn't AI doing your job now? What is it that I'm paying you $5,000 a month for again? I thought an AI did that.
And if the customer doesn't think an AI can do that, guarantee there's a 26-year-old out there who thinks they know everything there is to know, who's configured an agent and is presently telling your customer, hey, AI can do all of this. Pay me $1,000 and it'll be fine. No one knows whether it'll be fine, but that's what they're telling your customers right now.
Nobody has any idea if it's going to be fine. It's probably not going to be fine if you implemented that today because, you know, AI is still an infant. Really, is it in an infant? Here's the thing. I saw this great meme today. It said, oh, I used to pay $480 a month for my MSP tools. Now I pay $1,500 a month for the APIs, and I spend all my time fixing the YAML files. AI's throwing us into being developers. I am not a developer. I despise developing things. I'm bored instantly. at that idea. So this whole like messaging to MSPs of, you know, build an agent, build a this, build a, you know, string your agents all together, make them do your job. That is not appealing to me, but I also wonder about this, you know, buy it for 480, create it for 1500 thing. Is that happening?
It is in fact happening. And I think it's a good early adopter lesson that the rest of us can benefit from. It's absolutely true that you could use low code, no code. You can use vibe coding tools. You can stand up a piece of software that has every bit of function that you as an expert think it needs to have as of right now. The problem is that there's a big difference between a piece of software that does a thing and a software solution that has lifecycle management, that has tech support, that has quality control and testing and security and all the marketing lingo that goes with it. It's one thing to say, I too can write software. Congratulations. That's nowhere near the same thing as saying, I am a software company. And like you said, technicians, I think by definition, we are born to be service people who do things, not engineers who write code that will then go and do things. Very different personalities, very different human types there.
I think so. Like I said, I am not that person. But this reminds me of, you know, the whole open source thing, right? I always argued with my customers about open source. It's like, yeah, we can go and get this open source thing, but I don't know who supports it. And yeah, it's got a couple of authors in GitHub, but and they may or may not respond if I message them. This is not a good thing to bank your business on. I even recommended to people that they really investigate security companies, because security companies, just like I go to a conference and it's like, boof, the whole place is just full of security companies. 90% of them are two guys in their garage still, and they're hoping to sell enough. You know, if they sell a couple hundred thousand copies of their thing, they'll turn into a real company. If they don't, they'll go bust and go work for somebody else. Again, another thing not to bank your company on. So it's just a whole complex.
The real problem with it, if you think about, if we were content to do work that was peripheral by definition, right? Like, I can automate your email inbox and make sure it checks multiple accounts and it stack ranks based on urgency and the familiarity of your clients. I could write that piece of software yesterday. But if it didn't work, then, you know, I'd have to click on a few more emails and open them for myself to see whether or not I wanted to do anything with them. The impact of not working, not a big deal in those kinds of peripheral, trivial situations. But if you're talking about cybersecurity, if you're talking about running your entire network out, you know, all of the cloud hosting of your software applications that run front office and back office, the consequence of not working could be, well, you just lost all of your data in a breach, or it could be every one of your clients just had their information hacked and they no longer trust you and they all decide to go away. The consequences of what we're asking people to do with MSP tools, by definition, we're not doing peripheral things. The idea is we run your technology stack. And by the way, there's a consequence. If that doesn't work, and two guys in a garage, everything is perfect. Everything is great until the software doesn't work, at which point you figure out just how long you have to wait for a response to an email. Can you get a human? I don't think it's possible. So I think you've probably experienced the front end of that, right? Go to the conference. There's 500 new companies who say they do a thing. Those will wash out. Industries consolidate. Eventually, the grown-ups take market share. But it's really bumpy between now and then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in fairness, scale is no guaranteed solution. Right now, Microsoft has a massive problem with support. I am working with an MSP that managed to lock themselves out of their tenant by trying to do some security improvements to their own posture internally, and they oopsed, but they oopsed on themselves instead of on a client. So that's a good thing. However, if you get locked out of your tenant, you know, Microsoft has this SLA, which they do not meet. It is currently taking them 1 to 3 months to get back to you.
Yeah, 1 to 3 months until they can correct, till they can fix your, oops, I just accidentally clicked the wrong button.
Look, I'm at a Microsoft MVP. I did say that out loud, right? They've got a big problem in support right now. I don't know if they've just, you know, fired everybody and it's just one guy in India or what the deal is, but it's a serious problem. Speaking of serious problems, there is a boycott going on of OpenAI. And when I first heard that, I was like, oh, yeah, okay. And I imagine there's a lot of other people that just stopped using it that are also boycotting, that didn't actually, you know, unsubscribe or remove their accounts yet. I don't think Sam Altman had that on his bingo card for this year. There's a lot of people sort of pissed off at how the whole Department of War thing went down with OpenAI coming out on top.
Yep. And see, the calculus is pretty harsh for Sam. He signed a contract with the government for $200 million, which in the grand scheme of their business, and how many billions of dollars they invest in infrastructure and facilities and R&D, $200 million contract is not going to keep the lights on. It's not going to build another data center. But if you are the top level, well, the pro level paying user of OpenAI, and that's $20 a month and you're $240 a year, and then $1.5 million of you canceled, you're already underwater on that $200 million win. More dollars are flowing out than in. Think about it from Sam's point of view. Well, of course my software is capable of doing that. Therefore, I should get paid for letting my software do that, without stopping to consider the should you. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. I don't think he stopped to consider that at all. It was just race to the revenue, win the contract at all cost. And now that he did, well, now he's going to look really silly if he goes back in and imposes the same guidelines that got his competitor bounced from that contract. If he suddenly imposes ethics into the situation, he will get canceled.
I actually found out about the boycott because of Sam Altman's own post going, oh, why is everybody boycotting me? There's this great big boycott that's happening. I don't know what's going on. And I was like, because I don't actually use the product, so I didn't really realize there was a boycott. And I read into it and it was like, whoa, this is of decent size for 2 days.
Yeah. And that's the operative thing right there. Life comes at you really fast in the AI world. You can go from we win, we're the top of the world, everything is great, until we get through the weekend, at which point we may have completely bankrupted the operation. Everything can change in a moment's notice. That's why ethics exist, by the way, guiding principles, and not just in software, but in life. You have stable guiding principles, and then you test things against whether they fit or not. I don't think he did the test.
You hear a lot about how AI is changing the way we work, but most of what you see online are polished demos and proof of concepts. That's not how real work actually happens. At the end of our March member meeting inside the Small Biz Thoughts community, the conversation turned to the messy reality of using AI every day. Members asked how I actually produce MSP Radio in the business of tech, the real workflow behind the scenes. So I'm hosting a live workshop where I'll walk through the entire system. From news curation with Feedly to organizing it in Notion to AI summarization, scripting, and post-production. And just as important, where automation doesn't work and why. No hype, just the real process. This workshop is exclusively for members of the Small Biz Thoughts community. To learn more, visit smallbizthoughts.org.
In other news, Claude went down for good reason, because they had so much new business, it couldn't handle it, and they were out for 3 hours. But they're back. Anyway, that's a lot of drama going on in AI right now. And I want to wade into it, but without getting into too much politics. The military shot down a balloon, and then they shot down a Homeland Security drone. They did this on U.S. soil with some kind of new laser thing, disabling gizmo. I don't know. It pops balloons and it disables drones with a laser. And air traffic had to be halted at those two airports and in the region, and, you know, inconvenience all kinds of people. And then also Kuwait shot down three U.S. fighter jets. Oops. They didn't mean to. They just oopsed, kind of like, well, our military shot down a balloon and a drone on my Homeland Security. Is this a cautionary tale of putting too much trust into AI? I feel like AI has got to be part of this story. Someone is making a bad decision and just pressing go, or go is just being pressed without any human looking at it to go, no, that's one of our jets.
Well, and that's, I think you're right on target with what the problem is, which, again, back to my earlier comment, if I'm using AI to compile recipes or tell me what I could make with the stuff that happens to be in my fridge right now, and it makes a mistake, not the end of the world, not that bad of a consequence. But if it's military targeting decisions and actually pulling the trigger on these very destructive situations, the consequences are much more meaningful. I think we've all grown to the point with AI where we know that it's not 100% accurate. We've had more than one experience where you push back on the AI that tells you, oh, you're a genius. That was exactly the right idea. Oh, your insights are absolutely on target here. And you push back and say, I'm going to check you there. Are you just congratulating me, or did you actually do any research? And of course, the AI will say, well, I mean, of course I was just agreeing with you. I'll be more stringent now going forward. Perfectly fine for recipes from your fridge. Not cool in military targeting situations. We have to have a human in the loop. And yet, automation is a very seductive process because things go faster. It seems like they are easier most of the time. The consequences are good, not bad. And so we get really comfortable allowing the machine to do the work for us. I'm thinking in the military, that's a place where no matter what, a human with ethics should still be in the loop and can receive all those signals and say, okay, great, I hear what you're saying. Now I have to choose whether or not we pull the trigger. Not sure that's what's happened right now.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of overtrust in AI right now. So the company Block, which you and I know is Square, and Cash App is their other thing. Everybody knows Square and Cash App. The company's name is Block for whatever reason. They're late. They let off 50% of their people and said AI made us do it. And Bloomberg pushed back and said, no, your business was just bloated and fat and you were going to do it anyway. But the CEO was like, no, we automated these people away with AI. That's a lot of trust in AI too, because military is a big deal. Finance is also a big deal. I've also heard somebody say like, oh no, QuickBooks is going to go away because your AI will just, you'll just hand it over your bank statements and it'll just tell you what you need to know. You don't actually need an application to do it anymore. So a lot of people just throwing a lot of trust into AI in a lot of different areas right now. And I think I said at the top of this, like AI is an infant. It's not an adult human.
Not an adult human, maybe more than an infant, maybe just a very messy toddler, right? You know, just out there like pushing things over and spilling things on itself. It's not ready to make grown-up decisions. I loved reading about Jack's announcement when he came out with the statement that we're going to lay off 50% or 40% of our staff. That's not like 20 guys working in a basement someplace. That was 10,000 person company, 4,000 plus layoffs. that's a massive thing. But his rationalization was, I'm not too early with AI. I believe all other companies are late to AI, and that within 1 year, most companies will follow exactly what I've done. Now, even if Jack is only thinking about, say, the Fortune 500, and the Fortune 500 all were to collectively lay off 40% of their staff all at once, you're talking millions and millions of humans who will be displaced, and using a tool to replace them that might shoot down balloons instead of balance your accounts receivable, right? It is a fantastic productivity tool. We all can find ways that it makes us more capable, but that doesn't mean that it replaces humans in that process. And I tend to agree with that Bloomberg analysis that you mentioned. I've lost track at this point. I was keeping a running track when it went past 25 companies that had made announcements, major layoffs because we're making a big bet on AI. And then you read their P&L, you look at their stock disclosures, you look at all of their financial analysis. They missed a revenue target. They overhired. They had too much expense and fixed cost of operations involved. And so they needed to lay off. Like you said, the company was just fat and inefficient. So they cut some of that out. And then instead of saying, whoops, I'm bad at business, they said, I'm an AI genius. And that's why I did these things. I think maybe Jack's just not as good at business as he would want everybody to think that he is. I don't think that his business is thriving, and that's why he laid off 40% of his people.
Well, yeah, if you're laying off that many people, you've got a serious problem in your business, I think, because I'm with you. I don't think you can replace all of it with AI right now. You can replace a few people, maybe, but this is a time for AI experimentation. This is not a time to make a huge bet like that. Yeah, he's a guy that's known for huge bets, but 40% of your business probably means that you've got something really bad happening inside. We'll see what happens with Square.
Well, and if you think about that, did he just this week, this quarter, did he just adopt or invent a new AI tool that made it instantly obvious that he needed to get rid of 4,000 humans on his staff? Or was that something that they've been working on diligently, professionally, over several months and quarters? At which point one has to ask, well, why did you hire the people you knew you weren't going to need only to lay them off? Why didn't you just not hire that many people to begin with? The AI washing arguments do not hold a lot of water right now. I think, by the way, you and I, we've not had this challenge yet in our businesses, but if ever in your career you find yourself in a situation where you think, you know, now that I think about it, I've hired 4,000 too many people. Like at some point in that process, a business person would have stopped and said, wait, are we sure that we need to hire 4,000 extra humans? I think it's overtrusting the model and the function of AI. People who believe software will solve everything. Yeah.
A lot of companies are making these claims, and we'll see what happens probably 6 months from now, whether they're actually implementing AI, because we should be able to see it in their services too. You know, you'd think yep. this would be a visible thing. Hey, I want to thank you for co-hosting with me today. I really appreciate you being here.
Absolutely. This is fun. I love these kinds of conversations. And anytime we can, you know, poke a little hole in the balloon of AI and make sure they're testing it accurately, I'll have that conversation any day.
All right. We'll see you again sometime.
Thank you for listening and or watching. Remember, Dave breaks down the IT news of the day on his show, The Business of Tech, which drops at 5 p.m. Eastern, Mondays through Fridays.
with bonus content on the weekends.
Watching this on YouTube? Be sure to like and subscribe so you always know you've got our latest episode. We'd love to hear from you, so feel free to use the contact form on the SMB Community Podcast webpage. That's smbcommunitypodcast.com. Or leave your comments on our YouTube episode page. Produced by Picture This Video. Part of the MSP Radio Network.